Yo, what up? We're back, baby. We're finna get into UFC Norfolk. Pretty excited for this card. You know, I've always been a big fan of the flyweight division. I really like what they do. You know, I know the UFC doesn't seem to like flyweights too much. A lot of casual fans don't really like the flyweights. But, man, I mean, fuck, dude. I mean, they're not really doing the flyweights any favors on this card. They're going to put the title on this card and... Man, I mean, terrible heavyweight fight. They got a couple good fights, but two 145 fights on the main. It's like they, UFC, like Dana was sitting around with everybody, and they're like, you know, like, what are the two shittiest divisions we got in the UFC? You know, let's just throw them all on one fucking card, you know? So then they all put them on this card, I guess. Felicia Spencer, Megan Anderson, Joe B, Deveson, the whole crew. So they got all these fools on this card, so we'll see how far they truly, you know, start marketing this flyweight division and all that. But the main event's an extremely good fight, and I'm really looking forward to that. It's Joe B's probably his final chance to win the belt. If he loses there, I would imagine maybe he would even retire, win or lose. You know, that would be a great way to go into the sunset with the win. And if he loses, you know, what more does he really have to prove there? So I do kind of feel like maybe we're going to see the retirement of Joe B on Saturday night. But before that, we have a lot of fights on the card to discuss, so we're gonna get right into it. But make sure to you know, comment, like, subscribe, you know, share the video, share with your friends if they're in MMA, try to build this community up. And yeah, so thanks for always supporting, guys. And like I said, make sure to comment, like, subscribe. But the first fight of the night, it is gonna be Ismael Nardiev taking on Sean Brady. And Nardiev, he did bounce back from his first UFC loss. He had a pretty resounding dominant victory over C.R. Bahadurzadeh. He dominated basically every second of that fight. He even got a 30-24 on a scorecard. And he has a lot of raw ability, and he's 23 years old. He has a ton of potential. Now he's training up there at Sanford MMA, which is the new name for Hard Knocks 365. So Kamaru Usman, Henry Hooft is the coach, everyone out there. And he definitely is the coaches, the training partners to make it to the next level. So now it's just going to be up to him performing. And Sean Brady, he entered the UFC. He was undefeated, a lot of hype. And he didn't get an easy opponent in his UFC debut. He faced the aging guy, but a tough veteran in Court McGee. It was a hard fight. It was fairly close, but Brady clearly edged the fight. And this is an interesting matchup because Nardiev is the faster guy. He's more fast twitch, better kicks. He can kick moving backwards, laterally. He can kick to the head, to the body, to the legs. So very, very diverse with his kicks. And his hands aren't bad, but he does leave his chin high. He can be clipped with left hooks especially, which Brady throws very tight. So I kind of feel like that's going to be a big thing in this fight. And Nardiev, for him, I believe he needs to keep the distance with the kicks, land, angle, never stay stationary. And if this gets into the pocket, you know, I just feel like Brady is tighter with the punches. I think Brady's going to be trying to use forward pressure, cut the cage off, low kicks, left hooks, force Nardiev to trade in boxing range. One thing I don't like about Brady, though, is he tends to throw leg kicks almost immediately after being hit with a low kick, which that can be easily countered or seen on tape. So I feel like he kind of needs to get rid of that tendency, but he's good at catching kicks. He's good at blocking and countering kicks. That's how he dropped Court McGee, which will definitely be available in this fight against a high-volume kicker like Ismael Nardiev. And for Nardiev, in his last fight, he did get a few takedowns along with Brady did as well. But, you know, if Nardiev can get takedowns, if he can control on top, he's probably going to win the fight. I would say he does have the better takedown shots, like singles and doubles. But the issue is, I feel Brady is very big. He's strong for the weight class, very heavy hips. And maybe he could even get some takedowns of his own, you know, in the clinch or by catching a kick. I actually think this is a tough matchup for Nardiev because he's facing a stout, sharp boxer who cuts the cage off well, who's explosive, who's durable. And he probably won't be able to hide his bad boxing defense for three rounds or rely on the takedowns like he did for CR. Nardiev, he likes to use his body to avoid punches, you know, leaning back. And he keeps his feet very close together. If he gets hit while he's doing that, he's going to go night-night, you know. And he's always dangerous. He has a chance to land flying knees, spinning attacks that, you know, can end the fight. But I'm actually going to go with Sean Brady by second round TKO. I think that Nardiev gasses out a little bit as well, and I think as he starts to slow down with his movement, his kicks aren't coming quite as fast or as sharp, or his kicks start getting caught and he starts getting a little bit gun-shy to throw him. I think that at that point, Brady's going to start getting him in the boxing ranges, and I think that he's going to be able to land some big shots. I think that he's going to be able to really exploit and expose the boxing defense of Ismael Nardiev. So I'm pretty confident in this pick. I know he's the underdog, but my pick's going to be Sean Brady via TKO. And up next, we have a fight. Two guys making their debuts, Alon Cruz, Spike Carlisle. And, you know, Alon Cruz, he is entering his debut with a lot of momentum. He arguably had the best KO in the history of the Dana White Contender Series. You know, he had a beautiful flying knee knockout late in round three. And he might have been losing that fight. So it was very, 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 it was like a clutch thing to do because he got the contract and, he kind of was about to lose and he kind of got the win right there. But at 6 foot, he's a 78-inch reach. He's a huge featherweight. And he was supposed to face Steven Peterson here, but Peterson's forced out of the fight due to injury. And, Cruz, he's going to be the more technical striker. He will switch stances, decent footwork. He has a long reach, but he isn't the best puncher. He does have a good 1-2. He'll throw a check hook overhand right. He doesn't really have the best defense in boxing range or when he gets backed up. And he does throw very nice kicks, though. He has nice low kicks, front leg side kicks, front kicks, round kicks, body head, question mark kicks, spinning kicks, jump knees. So he has a big arsenal of kicks. He kind of reminds me a little bit of Jonathan Martinez. And he did show the ability to fight moving backwards the last fight. He does fight for all three rounds. He has two knockouts, and he's never been finished by strikes. And he will look to mix it up, but in this one, I imagine he's going to keep it on the feet. He is solid in the clinch. He'll dig double underhook, circle to the back, look for trips. He can shoot some bad takedowns when he's pressured. And he was shooting some unset up double legs in his last match that were not ideal to see. But he can be taken down as well. He has good get-ups, but he will give his back to stand up. He has been caught in a rear naked choke twice in his career and submitted. And he does have two submissions himself. He is a dog. He has good cardio. But to me, he seems pretty average. But I would say he has a fairly easy matchup here. Spike Carlisle, he answered the short notice call. And he is going to be headed to Norfolk February 29th. But he's normally a lightweight. He did decide to make the drop here. He only has two fights at featherweight in his career. He's 1-1 there. His one career featherweight loss is very alarming because it was a split decision loss to a guy who was 8-11, which is a terrible record. And he only has 9 fights, but it's a little bit deceiving because he has a lot of amateur experience. His first amateur fight was in 2011. He's 9-5 as an amateur. And he's an extremely aggressive guy. He's dangerous early. 5 of his 8 wins have came in round 1. And there isn't a ton of footage on him, but from what I've seen, I'm not really impressed. He comes out fast. He'll crash the distance with punches. He throws a lot of kicks, but he holds his hands low. He will throw, some nice round kicks, front kicks, body head. He has a decent left hook. His straight right hand isn't bad. He did land a pretty nice spinning back fist in a recent fight that did knock his opponent out. But his defense is not good, and he isn't a UFC-level striker to me. His hands are completely down. He's very wild, kind of unrefined. He is dangerous himself. He does have 4 first-round knockouts. But, I just don't know about his striking. He does have 2 KOs in under 1 minute. And he's an opportunistic grappler, but he doesn't look great in that area either. His takedown defense looks questionable. He relies on guillotines to counter takedowns. He will pull guard with the guillotine. Definitely, you can see he has faith in his jiu-jitsu. He will attack triangles, arm bars. He'll, give up position to attack the submissions. And, he can give up his back in the mountain scrambles. He can make mistakes when he's grappling, going for low-level subs. And I've seen him lose due to getting taken down on the regional scene before. But he will go for takedowns. He'll shoot double legs. He likes to attack singles, get you to the fence, chain wrestle. I have seen him hit some nice throws in the clinch. And when he gets on top, he likes to take the back rear nakeds of his own. He has some ground and pound finishes for mount as well. And in a recent LFA fight, he was able to get some early takedowns, but he couldn't really control position. He did keep a heavy dose of takedowns up in that fight, showed good cardio, but he was almost desperate to try to get it to the ground. And I feel like a better opponent might have made him pay for a game plan like that. But I will say that, you know, Spike comes to fight, he's very dogged, and you're going to really have to get him out of there to beat him. He does have 3 submissions of his own. His cardio looks a little bit questionable, though. He does look like he gets tired as the fight goes on. But this is an interesting fight because Spike is going to bring it. Cruz can fight moving backwards, but if Spike gets inside, he could maybe get a takedown or land some shots. He's always going to be looking for the kill, attacking spinning, and Cruz is going to be way better on the outside. He's going to be able to land straights, kicks, knees. And if he can get his range, I definitely see him, starting to pick apart Spike, maybe knocking him out. And I'm going to pick Cruz by KO in this one. And up next, we have another pretty fun fight with TJ Brown taking on Jordan Griffin. And Jordan Griffin, he has his back against the wall here. He's gone 0-2 in his first 2 UFC starts. He has faced 2 very tough competitors, but now he's facing a UFC newcomer. It's time to put up or shut up here. Needs a win, needs to perform to stick around. And he's a southpaw, good distance striker. He likes to use a lot of lateral movement on the outside, kind of explode in with straight punches. Decent jab, good straight left hand. He will throw 1-2s, good jab, overhand left. And he's very aggressive. He's pretty quick closing the distance. When he can back opponents up against the cage, he will throw wide hooks in combination. He tries to close off the exits by, predicting which side you're going to try to escape on and throwing a hook that side. And in round 3, if he feels the fight's close, he will start to put the pressure on, try to force exchanges. Definitely has good cardio. Nice short hooks, uppercuts, pretty powerful. Dangerous kicks as well. He'll throw a 1-2 to rear leg body or head kicks. But if you could time his blitzes, fighters can duck under, get easy takedowns. His defense is not very good either, but he does have good power. He has 5 knockouts, good chin. He's a wild man. He's only been KO'd 1 time in his career, and he's a decent grappler offensively. He's very explosive, good double legs. He'll get big slams, body locks, and very aggressive on the ground. He'll jump on rear naked chokes with no hooks in. Very good squeeze, a lot of ground and pound. He likes to stand up in opponent's guards and land big punches. Definitely has a good reach. His aggressiveness going for chokes can get him in trouble, though. He'll go for flying guillotines, end up on his back. He can hold on to chokes for too long and allow opponents to escape and transition to dominant positions. And he definitely is too calm on bottom. He can give up mount, give up the back pretty easily. He's calm in those positions and will move on the bottom, avoid huge damage, get out of very tight submissions. I mean, this guy is very hard to submit, but he loses rounds due to that. His takedown defense is poor. He was taken down multiple times per round by Dan Ige and Chas Skelly. He will never break, though, and he's going to be there until the end. He has 8 submissions. He has been submitted twice. I feel he should strike in this matchup. Try to keep it on the feet early on, counter Brown as he tries to get inside. Get the feel of his speed and what to do. And if he can deny a few takedowns, get Brown tired, then he could start pressuring, start coming in with those blitzes, and maybe he'll be able to catch TJ. But TJ Brown, he's worked his way to the UFC the hard way. I mean, Brown doesn't have the prettiest record, 14-6, but he's been thriving lately, 5-1 in his last 6 MMA fights, and he also won some kickboxing fights, some boxing fights in 2019. Brown seemed to have hit his stride in that year. He's going to be looking to bring that into 2020. He was 4-0 in MMA with 4 finishes in 2019, and his last victory was on the Contender Series. That was the one that earned him the UFC contract. The first thing that you notice when you watch TJ Brown is definitely his aggressiveness, his explosiveness early in rounds. He can come out hot, both with the striking and the grappling. Pretty explosive. He can switch stances. Good jab. He will double triple up on that jab to get into range. Heavy 1-2s, good hooks, nasty head kicks. And he's won via head kick in 2 of his last 4 fights. The problem on the feet with Brown to me is he's very aggressive. He's willing to get in wars. He will overextend a little bit in the pocket with his punches. He'll also lead with the uppercut, which is always dangerous. And he can get countered by clean boxers. He got dropped with a really nice 1-2 early on in his last fight against Dylan Lockhart. And he has been knocked out before. He has 4 knockouts himself, but he's been finished by strikes 3 times. So definitely could say he's a little bit hittable. But he's a very good grappler. He's extremely strong. He manhandles opponents. And very nice takedowns and a lot of variety with them. He'll hit them with traditional wrestling shots in the clinch, sacrifice throws. And he's excellent in top position. Great control. He'll slow cook opponents, slowly advance position. He'll land hard punches, elbows. Very good at using the front headlock position to snap opponents back down, control them. He'll trap a wrist from side control, kind of that wrestling ride position, land big shots from there. And his go-to submission is his arm triangle. He's very good with it. He has 6 in his career. He also has good back takes. And in that position, he more likes to flatten opponents out, rain down ground and pound. And then he will lock in rear naked chokes if he can't get the finish with the strikes. Very good in scrambles. And when he can get in on the legs, he usually will end up on top. I mean, he can get taken down, but he will attack off his back with Kimuras. He'll work his way back to top position. And he was able to do that against a college wrestler in Dylan Lockhart in his last fight. He really dominated in the grappling realm, ultimately submitted Lockhart. And Brown can get a little sloppy on bottom. He can give his back to stand up. He has been caught in 2 rear naked chokes, but excellent cardio from Brown. He's never going to quit. And this should be a fun fight. On the feet, I actually believe Brown is more technical. I see him trying to get inside, initiate takedowns. And at range, he is a little stiff in the style of Griffin, you know, darting in, darting out, being quick. He may have a little bit trouble with that straight left hand with the 1-2 or the head kick. And maybe Griffin will be able to take out Brown. But I think Brown hits harder. And Griffin can get a little bit wild in trade sometimes, where I feel that'll favor TJ Brown if that is to happen. Griffin holds his hands low also, so you know, maybe that head kick of Brown's could also come into play. As for the grappling, I just feel Brown's going to be stronger. I think he's going to be able to take down Griffin basically at will. I feel he's the bigger guy, and when he gets in on the legs or a body lock, Griffin's going to go down to me. And Brown, he's excellent at keeping top position. He's excellent at taking the back. And Griffin seemingly gives up his back in every fight. I feel Brown should dominate positionally, land some big shots. And Griffin has proven to be very difficult to submit. And he also has some tricky submissions of his own. I mean, he'll attack the legs, then quickly transition to arm bars. He can be getting dominated and then find a funky submission. You know, we saw that in his fight against Derek Minner. If you guys haven't seen that fight in LFA, go watch it. You know, Minner, he's also on this card. He was tooling Jordan Griffin. I mean, he was beating him up in the first round, dominating the second round, and Griffin pulled an armbar out of nowhere and got the win. But I think this is a good matchup for TJ Brown. My pick's going to be Brown via decision. I think that, you know, he's going to look good here and get the victory.
Man, another week, another terrible heavyweight UFC fight. But here we go, man. Sergey Spivak taking on Marcin Tybura. And Spivak, he is entering the betting favorite here, which I don't know if I ever would have thought I would say that in a UFC fight for Spivak. But he was knocked out in less than a minute versus Walt Harris, but he did rebound and get that decision victory over Tai Tuivasa. And I feel, you know, maybe you have to throw that Harris fight out. He was 254.5 at the weigh-ins. He took that fight on short notice. In other fights, like his most recent one, he's 233. He rarely weighs over 240, so I feel he probably wasn't in good shape at all for that fight. But, you know, what happened was what happened, and he quit. So, you know, quitting does have a little bit to do with cardio, obviously, but it's never a good look. But Spivak, he looks tall, he's long on the feet, he will stick a jab out there, 1-2, good jab right hook, and he has fast hand speed. He does, you know, throw decently quick in combination inside, but when he's forced to throw longer, straighter punches on the outside, he kind of is a little bit stiff, and he's not as fast. He's more fast on the inside when he can implement knees, elbows, and kind of mix it up a little bit. He will throw some nice knees, head kicks, and he's very good when he can back opponents against the cage. He's good at measuring opponents, throwing big elbows, and kind of picking his shots well. He definitely has good cardio. He can throw a lot of volume out there. he does stand heavy on his lead leg, and he has small legs. I don't think he's going to be able to take many low kicks. He did get swept off his feet with a low kick versus Tuivasa. He also doesn't deal with pressure very well, and he kind of just covers up, waits for his moment, and then returns. But, you know, I feel like against better strikers, they're going to be able to hurt him when he does that. I am impressed with his volume for heavyweight, but doesn't hit hard. He isn't the greatest athlete. And a lot of his striking is just to close the distance, so isn't a super dangerous striker. He does have 4 knockouts, and he was finished that one time by Walt Harris. But Spivak, he's a strong grappler. He's pretty good in the clinch. He will close the distance with punches. He'll throw elbows, knees, body, head. And he's very good in top position, body locks, head and arm throws. And, you know, he will rain down big shots from the guard. He will, you know, land some punches from side control. He kind of likes to get that neck crank from side control. He likes to attack arm triangles from there as well. He can be a little bit sloppy, though, when he's going for those neck cranks, things like that. He can give up top position. He could, you know, get swept. But he will look for the mount. He's fast at scrambles. You know, I'm decently impressed with him on the mat. He also, in his last fight, was hitting more traditional shots like blast doubles. He was able to tie when Ty was throwing kicks to take him down off of that, which showed a good ability for him to adapt because he wasn't doing that early in the fight. But he can't struggle to hold opponents down, and he definitely has good enough cardio to take down guys multiple times. We saw that with Tuivasa, which that's a good skill to have at heavyweight, because if you could start slow cooking guys, then you know, eventually it's going to start being easier to hold guys down. But you know, overall, I'm not super impressed with him for Team Boreman. I mean, you know, he's chased things up. He's at Syndicate MMA for this one. And, you know, he is light on his feet. He has some decent kicks, straight punches, good right hook, a leaping straight left, uppercut left hook combo. But, you know, he holds his hands low. He can't be hit clean. He squares up at times. On the feet, I definitely feel like he's going to be the better guy, though. I think that he's going to be the better striker. He has been knocked out, you know, 4 times in his career and twice recently, back-to-back. So his chin may be gone, you know. But if not, I do think he's going to be able to be the better striker. And his grappling isn't bad either. I mean, he will look to get double legs, body locks. On top, he's pretty good. He has decent submissions. And, you know, he was able to go all 5 rounds with a guy like Verdum, who has a lot of very good submissions. He survived on the ground with him. But, man, I mean, this is a tough fight for me to call. I think Sergey may be able to control against the cage, get Tybura tired, land something in the clinch, control on top. But I feel Tybura is the better athlete, the better striker. I think if he faints, uses low kicks, controls distance, backs Spivak up, and keeps it standing, he's likely going to win. But I feel Tybura should look to, you know, get back up if taken down. And from what I saw of Spivak versus Ty, maybe even get on top of him. I mean, this fight just comes down to how badly, you know, damaged goods is Tybura. Now, if he shows up, he should win this fight. I'm going to pick Tybura, but man, I mean, I have no idea really. So, pick could be Marcin Tybura here. And up next, we have Tom Breeze taking on Brandon Allen. And man, I mean, we all know the deal with Tom Breeze right now. You know, he's a guy that he pulls out of a lot of fights, man. I mean, and he has an issue with he has an issue where he has anxiety issues. He'll pull out of fights, like, the day of, in the locker room. I believe that's what he did in his last fight, or he pulled out, like, the night before. And he's done that multiple times. So, I imagine, you know, this is going to be probably the last chance for, you know, Tom Breeze to actually get in that octagon and fight. Because if he pulls out again because of anxiety issues, I don't know how the UFC could keeping him around. Because you're giving fights to this guy against other people who are wanting to fight, and they go through whole training camps, and then he doesn't fight. So it's like, you can't continue to give an opponent like that to fighters. But, you know, when Tom Breeze gets in the cage, he's very good, man. He's a very tall fighter. And he's been putting a lot of priority in boxing and fighting long. So, you know, he said he's been working a lot on his boxing technique. And he has a long stance. He pumps out that jab, the straight left. He will, you know, feint and fake, walk opponents down and keep them on the back foot. Good distance control. Very accurate straight left hand. that's kind of what he uses to control the distance, and he has a nasty front kick to the body, good jab left hook, he'll throw a nasty right hook straight left hand combination, really nice uppercut right hook combo, nice inside outside leg kicks, you know, he'll throw Superman punches, good head movement, lateral footwork, and uses his length well to walk opponents into his shots, pot shot him over 3 rounds, very good hand speed, keeps the volume high. You know, I think overall he's a very good striker. He does stand heavy on his lead leg. It is there to be leg kicked, but hard to hit to the face. And he has 4 knockouts. He only has 1 career fight that he's lost, which was a split decision. And he's a black belt in jiu-jitsu, good ground game as well. Isn't an offensive wrestler, and his defensive wrestling is a little bit questionable, but you know, he can be bullied in the clinch. He doesn't really have the greatest technique there. He doesn't dig underhooks. He'll just kind of try to stall out the position. Kita Nakamura was able to take him down in the clinch multiple times. That was a long time ago, and he did look improved defending clinch takedowns, digging underhooks against Sean Strickland. Off his back, you know, he is very good. He will attack with leg locks. I feel like he's an elite leg lock guy for MMA, and he's also very good with triangles from full guard. Brendan Allen definitely has to mind his P's and Q's if he takes top position. And, you know, he'll use these leg locks to sweep as well. Once he gets on top, he's very good. He's very hard to buck off, very good control, nice elbows, good crucifix and inside control, good inverted triangles. He's a legit black belt, man. I mean, he's competed in EBIs. He has 6 submissions. And, you know, I feel like he's a very skilled fighter. I mean, if he gets in the cage and he fights, he's going to put on a very good performance usually. And, you know, he's a young guy. This is his first fight in almost 2 years. So who knows? I mean, maybe he'll come out here looking even better than the last time we saw him when he knocked out Dan Kelly. So we're going to have to see with Tom Breeze. But if he gets in that octagon, you know, he's usually a good fighter. And for Brendan Allen in his last fight, you know, he got a good win. He beat Kevin Holland, who, you know, Holland did come in on short notice. He did look like he kind of gassed out. So maybe Allen got a little bit lucky there. But he looks really pretty solid. You know, technical striking. He definitely has power in his hands. Good jab, good hooks. He catches fighters as he's moving backwards, which is a good trait. And when he goes forward, he's super aggressive. He'll crash with hard punches, big knees. He'll attack the body. But his striking defense is not very good. He's very hittable. I feel like with the guy with the boxing of Tom Breeze, he could maybe even just win this fight solely off the jab. But Allen has power. He has 4 knockouts. Good chin. He's never been finished by strikes. He's willing to walk through punches, take one to give one. But in this fight, he should definitely be looking to get it to the mat. You know, he has strong takedowns, really good body locks, good double legs. And in top position, he has decent control, aggressive looking for the back. We saw that in his last fight. He'll work side control, look for Kimura's arm bars, good at creating scrambles. And, you know, in his last fight, he was able to go in there and submit a guy who's very tough to submit in Kevin Holland. Like I said, I do believe Kevin Holland, you know, taking that fight on short notice, did get a little bit tired, but, you know, Brendan Allen still went in there and did the thing. So, you know, he went in there, he got the submission. He's gotten 2 submissions back-to-back. 3 of his last 4 fights, he's won via submission. And, you know, he's a guy that I would be very surprised to see him submit Tom Breeze, but I believe his path to victory in this fight would be taking Tom Breeze down, holding Tom Breeze down, and controlling him. So, that's kind of what I think his game plan is going to try to be here. But I just feel like Tom Breeze is better than him everywhere. He's better than him with the boxing, better than him with on the ground, more technical. He's taller. You know, Allen has the range here, which, you know, could play a factor. But, you know, I feel like Breeze is better with the distance control. This is, you know, I'm going to go with Tom Breeze. I feel like the line is close because of the other issues that Tom Breeze has outside of the cage, not because of the actual performances that happen in the octagon. But with a guy like Tom Breeze, man, I mean, it's hard to trust him. You know, what if he has that brain lapses that he's having in the locker room in the middle of the fight and just checks out? You know, then he wouldn't show his skill set. I'm gonna look dumb picking him and he's gonna look bad. But I feel like if he goes out there and he performs to his true capabilities, Brendan Allen can't compete with him. So I'm going to Tom Breeze to get the victory. And now up next here we have Gabriel Silva taking on Kyler Phillips. And this is another low-key fight that's pretty good. You know, Gabriel Silva, he is the brother of Eric Silva. And he's going to be looking to bounce back following that loss to Ray Borg. That was his first loss of his career in his UFC debut. And he's a very odd build. I mean, he's short and compact. He's 5'4", but he has a 71-inch reach, which is pretty crazy. And he switches stances. He pressures fairly well. Pretty explosive guy. And he usually starts southpaw. Good jab, good left hand from southpaw. He'll throw a 1-2 right hook. He likes to rip the body. Very nice overhand left. He'll, use the overhand left to crash and hook combinations. And in orthodox, he'll throw a lot of powerful lead left hooks. He's good at slipping, ducking punches in close range, coming back with a tight right hook. He packs power in close distance. And he does look to, fight hands in close range. He has fast hands there as well. And he can get hit coming inside, though. He doesn't have the greatest defense entering range. And he also doesn't have, the longest reach when he throws kicks, obviously, because he's kind of short. So, he doesn't tend to throw a lot of kicks. And on the outside, he's not as successful, even with the long reach, if someone could kick him on the outside. Because, obviously, even though he has that long reach, if someone is a little bit taller, could keep on the outside of kicks, he could struggle a little bit. And a lot of the fights I was watching, he was fighting at 145, so I think he's going to be better sized for 35s. He did, get a little bit tired in his Ray Borg fight, but that was a very high-paced matchup. He does have 3 knockouts. He's never been finished by strikes, and he looks to mix it up. I mean, he'll use blitz attacks, power punches to fall into takedown attempts. He definitely has a nice single leg. Yes, he's powerful even at 145, and when he gets his hands connected, he'll get good slams. And on top, though, I don't really like what I see. He doesn't have good top control, and he can be put in submissions. I've seen him swept more than once with leg locks. He doesn't really pass very well, and fighters are able to create scrambles and stand back up. He did hit a couple good switches and took the back of Ray Borg, and he showed good back control, but didn't really attack the rear naked choke, and he isn't a big submission guy. I mean, he only has one submission in his career. He did get out-grappled pretty badly in that fight versus Ray Borg, got very tired, and, Borg was able to show him that next level and put him in that wrestling grind, but that's Ray Borg, man. I mean, we just saw what Ray Borg did in his last fight, and Kyler Phillips, he's completely different than Ray Borg, and he's going to be making his long-awaited UFC debut. I mean, he was set to debut in March of last year, but got forced out of that fight due to an injury. He hasn't fought since then. And he did have a fight on the Dana White Contender Series where he earned a victory. He also has a loss on Tough. So now he's finally getting the UFC opportunity in the main stage. He has 2 kind of, opportunities in the organization, but obviously wasn't in the big show. And he's very dangerous. He's very dangerous in round one specifically. Very fast, technical, explosive. And he can finish the fight on the feet or on the ground, and he has all his finishes in round one. As the fight goes on, definitely slows down, isn't nearly as dangerous. Early in round one, man, he's lying on his feet, great movement, he's bouncing in and out. Very nice lead hand, very fast, very sharp with his punches. He'll throw really nice 1-2s, really good hooks, uppercuts, really nice tight left hook. The best part of his stand-up game is his kicking, though. He has very nice low kicks, really nice round kicks, body head. He'll throw spinning kicks, question mark kicks. In his last match, he landed a spinning back kick to the body to a question mark kick to the head and knocked his opponent clean out. Very dynamic. He has 3 knockouts in his career, never been finished by strikes. And he's well-rounded. He's a solid grappler. He's good at getting to the clinch, working takedowns along with taking the back from that position. He's always looking to take the back in grappling situations, and he didn't seem the best at sticking the submission when he's in the back mount, but good at controlling there. He isn't bad at chain wrestling against the cage either. He'll take the mount, he'll land big shots from there. In his match with Victor Henry, he did win the grappling exchanges early in that fight against a pretty good grappler, but he gassed out, and definitely, as the fight went on, I would say he lost that fight due to being stuck on bottom. He isn't the greatest when dealing with forward pressure. His cardio isn't very good. He can get a little bit sloppy in grappling exchanges as the fight goes on. And he has a lot of potential, man. He's also a finisher. He only has one calf slicer submission, and both of his losses have came via split decision. So he fights close when it goes to decision a lot. He is young. He's a good prospect, and I see Phillips being able to dominate on the feet if he fights smart. He's way more dynamic than Silva, and he can move. Silva's flat-footed. He's not nearly as fast, and if he can make Silva overextend with punches and counter, feint, move, stay at kicking range, I think he's going to get the knockout. But Silva, he's going to want to close the distance, force grappling, boxing exchanges. He has power in his hands, and I think he has the better jiu-jitsu, and maybe could control in top position. He could break Phillips maybe with forward pressure, knock him out. And my pick's going to be Kyler Phillips, though, via first-round KO or decision. I think he's cleaner on the feet. I think he has good enough grappling to keep it where he wants it. And both these guys have had cardio issues, so I don't trust that Silva's going to be able to push at pace that's going to break Phillips. So my pick's going to be Kyler Phillips to actually go in there and get the first-round finish. Woo, man, here we go, baby. This is a fight that I like, man. This is a grappling special right here. And, you know, I really wish it was still Chaz Skelly fighting him. You know, Grant Dawson, he had a couple of those mishaps with USADA. He wasn't granted a license to fight in Nevada. And Chaz was ready to go there. And then when they changed it to Virginia, you know, Chaz, you know, he's an older guy. And he had to do back-to-back training camps. And he got injured, man. And now, you know, Chaz is thinking about retirement, which sucks, dude. I really hate that. But, you know, Dawson, he's been allowed to fight here in Virginia, and he's going to be taking on Derek Minner now. You know, and he's a grappler. He likes to keep pressure on opponents. Usually opens up throwing a lot of kicks. He'll throw front kicks, round kicks. Likes to attack the body. Decent jab, good long right hooks. He'll throw a side, you know, nice side kicks in combination. Decent right hooks as well. And he'll mix in uppercuts. He's good at slipping punch, landing a left or a right hook or an overhand. He'll also attack the body off of slips, good kicks. And, you know, when he has a speed advantage, he'll walk you down, make you pay, you know, start to mix it up with the wrestling. But he can be very aggressive and almost to a fault, you know, have some reckless abandon. He's shown a good chin, but it's a risky style to just go forward and wear punches and get hit. But I think he does that because of his cardio. He wants to wear guys down and take them out. And he's a grinder, man. I mean, he's still developing as a striker, but his aggression, and he doesn't mind being hit, I think that's going to make him go a long way, because when you're a grappler and you don't mind getting hit, then you're going to be able to get inside easier. And if you have a good chin, you're probably going to be able to implement your game most of the time. He's only 25 years old, so I definitely expect improvements from him. And he's a very good grappler. He's a much better grappler than striker. He's great timing on his double legs. When he gets on top, he goes to work immediately. Big ground and pound. He'll posture, land big straight punches, hammer fist, elbows. Kind of, you know, slowly wears on opponents in a position. Then he'll pass, move to dominant positions like the mound. He'll throw big ground and pound. Good rear naked chokes when opponents give their backs. He's a bit of a rear naked choke specialist, actually. I mean, he has 5 career rear nakeds. He'll also attack with front chokes like D'Arce's, Anacondas, guillotines. Great cardio, and usually once he gets one takedown, he's probably going to get another one and another one and another one and just diminish his opponent. He has 9 submissions. He's never been submitted, and he's just the definition of a grinder, man. But I'm excited for Derek Minner's debut. I'm happy he got the fight here. This is a guy that's been grinding out on the regional scene, fought a lot of tough competition. He's had some close fights. He's had a lot of fights where he's been dominating the fight, then lost, and he's getting the short notice call here. I guess he did make a good impression on the Dana White Contender Series. He took it to Herbert Burns, man. I mean, he had Herbert in some bad situations. He hurt him on the feet. He took his back, but he didn't. Eventually, he got submitted in that fight. But he's followed that up with 2 finishes on the regional scene. He beat Terrence McKinney, who was another fighter that fought in the Dana White Contender Series very quickly. And he's a guy that comes in the cage with bad intentions, man. He's ready to go right away. He's a first-round finisher, man. He'll take you out quickly if you're ready to go. I mean, his last 3 wins have came in under 2 minutes. He's finished 20 wins in the first round out of 24 fights, many in the first 2 minutes. So, I mean, this guy usually, I mean, in the first round, he's usually, you'd have to go look at his fights. He has been finished in the first round of some fights. But I bet you he's winning in the first round of almost every single fight that he's fought in his entire career. And, You know, he has been finished 5 times in round one, but even a lot of those times he's winning until he gets finished. So his style can work both ways. He's very aggressive looking for the finish, but puts himself in positions to get finished. He's a boxer wrestler who throws bombs. Isn't really technical with the feet, but he has power. He'll commit to a strike. You know, he'll wing clubbing overhands. I've seen him drop opponents. You know, he will close distance with hooks, uppercuts. He really uses the striking to get it on the legs, though. He'll throw a lot of kicks also. Front kicks up the middle, round kicks body head. He's decent moving in and out. He will sometimes load up with the kicks that can be countered. And he'll also throw a lot of lead uppercuts that leave him exposed. He can be very sloppy after the first round. His striking kind of become winged hooks. He'll run into punches. And when Minter's opponents start to find their range, he can kind of struggle to get inside. But when he hurts opponents, he's not looking to finish by strikes. He's going into submission mode. He only has one career knockout. He has been finished by strikes twice, but he's very durable. I mean, the times he's been finished were ground and pound, where he wasn't out, but he just couldn't get out of a position. And when he gets hurt, he recovers very quickly. He is a great striker, but he commits, and it opens up his wrestling. And he's a strong grappler, extremely opportunistic, aggressive. He sacrifices position for submission every time with no regrets. He's good at using big punches to set up the entries to his double legs, good singles. And when he takes opponents down, he's immediately looking to rain down ground upon hunting that neck. He's good at taking the back. He'll lock in rear naked chokes and transitions. And when he catches guys, he really, really attacks that neck heavy. I mean, you can tell he's really squeezing as hard as he can. He'll dive on front chokes. His guillotines are very slick. He has a ton of guillotine finishes. And he can sometimes get himself in trouble due to hunting the sub. I mean, he will attack knee bars, get mounted. He'll dive on guillotines, put himself on bottom. But he has decent submission defense. He can get submitted. And he also can stay in bad positions, turtle up, and kind of allow fighters to pound him out and finish the fight. And he can get a little bit sloppy and set opponent's guard. He gets submitted with triangles, arm bars. He has been taken down himself, and his game off his back is not very good. He doesn't have a great get-up game. He isn't a huge submission threat. But he did recently get a triangle choke, and he will use the guillotine to stand up from inside his guard. He has been submitted several times in his career, but he has 21 submissions of his own. So, I mean, he's going in there to get the sub usually. He has grit, he has heart. His cardio isn't the best. He will slow down after the first round, but he's a veteran. He knows kind of how to, control the pace even when he's tired and fight through fatigue. But this is a tough assignment here on his first time out. I just feel like Dawson's going to be able to take him down and control him, man. I just think that's going to be the tale of the fight. We saw Chico Camus implement that game plan against Minter. And I just feel like it's going to be a lot of Dawson taking him down, rinse and repeat, control it on top. I think he's probably going to be able to finish him because I think Minter's going to get tired. I do think in the first round, though, man, I mean, Minter can finish him in the first round. Stranger things have happened. Minter's a guy that comes out there and goes to work in that first round. So if he goes out there and gets a first round finish over Grant Dawson, that's his path to victory here. But my pick's going to be Grant Dawson to maybe survive an early storm and get the finish or win a decision. This fight, man, I really don't have a ton to say about this fight, but Megan, she's going to be looking to win her second fight in a row in the UFC. She did get that first round finish over Zyra Fared, who we're going to talk about later, via submission, which was pretty surprising. But you know, everyone knows about Anderson now. She's 6 feet tall. She's a huge woman, pretty athletic, and good power to hands, good jab, good straight right hand, overhand left. She'll definitely, attack at close range with spinning attacks, knees, elbows, and she's very dangerous on the feet. She throws a ton of volume. She's finished 4 wins via KO TKO. She's never been finished by strikes. And, her kryptonite has been her grappling, but she did win via triangle in her last fight. You could tell it was very big for her to do that. She has showed bad takedown defense when she fought against Felicia Spencer. She also showed very bad submission defense when Spencer was on her back. She's also been submitted by Cindy Danwa. In this fight, she probably will have to deal with some takedown attempts from Dumont, but Norma Dumont, she's going to be making her UFC debut. She's 4-0. She hasn't fought in about a year and a half. I'm not really sure why, but she's finally getting back in there. And she's a Sanda black belt. She's Brazilian, but she's normally a 35er. There's not really much to say about Dumont because there is only one fight of hers online. The fight was against an 0-3 opponent. And that fight, she did look decently quick on the feet. She was picking her shots. She was landing some pretty stinging shots. Heavy low kicks, body kicks. She'll come in with nice 1-2s. She had pretty quick hands. And, you know, I don't really think she's defensively sound with the boxing, though. She looks like she's more comfortable throwing kicks and being on the outside, being defensive. But, you know, I haven't seen very much of her grappling either. I have seen her get a couple takedowns in the clinch. She looks like she has some nice trips, good throws. And in top position, you know, she was able to get to mount, rain down shots, and did force that opponent to give her back and took her out. Her two victories have came via rear naked choke, her two finishes. And she looks like a solid athlete, all-around skills. She still is very green, though. She only has four fights. She hasn't faced very good competition. And due to that, I'm going to pick Megan because, you know, I just haven't seen enough from Norma. I mean, Norma may go in there and get the win, but I've only seen one fight of Norma's against an 0-3 girl. So, hard to make a pick on this fight. Dubot doesn't look bad, but she doesn't look great defensively. She looks a little bit small. She's less experienced. So, I'm going to say Anderson wins via decision or TKO. Woo! Up next here, we got another really nice fight. You know, Jan Kutulava taking Magomed Ankalaev. You know, these are two guys that are two bruisers, man. I mean, both these guys have big knockout power. They're very athletic. I mean, two of the most athletic guys in the 205-pound division, if you ask me. And Yod, he's more of an exploder. He's a guy that comes out, he's light on his feet, a lot of movement, a lot of spinning attacks. He's coming in with big 1-2s, full power on his punches. Really nice elbows as well. Good knees in the clinch. He's brutal. He's ruthless. You know, he's really improved his takedown defense as well. So he's getting better at keeping it on the feet, keeping it in his realm. And he has wrestling of his own in his back pocket. He showed that off in his fight against Khalil Rountree his last time out. He got on top, landed those brutal elbows. But the problem with Yod is he does slow down, and a lot of his shots come a little bit wide. I mean, he will throw some straight 1-2s, but he'll throw a lot of hook combinations, a lot of wide shots, and he can get countered with straighter, tighter punches, which I believe is what Magomed is much better at. I mean, Magomed, to me, is better with the distance control. He, you know, controls... He's more composed as well. His cardio is much better. He feints a lot more than Yod. Yod will switch stances. I would say he's more dynamic in terms of he'll attack spinning attacks. He can throw maybe flying knees, things like that. But Ankalaev, you know, he's more technical. He has a really nice jab, really good boxing, really straight punches, tight punches. He stays very composed, good wrestling himself. Good kicks. I mean, we saw him land that front kick to the face that knocked out Doucha Champion. And I feel like Doucha Champion is kind of a similar matchup to Yod. A guy who is an exploder on the feet, has big power, can throw some interesting techniques, but really has a wrestling base and, you know, can rely on their wrestling to win fights when they can get out-grappled or when they're getting outstruck. But the thing is here for me is I believe that Ankalaev, he has the better striking, he has the better cardio, and probably has the better wrestling. So, you know, he is a little bit hittable, which, you know, in that first round, Yod is going to come hard, he's going to come heavy, and if Yod catches him in that first round clean, he could knock him out. But we've seen when he fights guys like Glover Teixeira, when he fights guys like Jared Cannonier, after that first round, he still has some decent power, decent hand speed, but very much diminished. Guys can start to walk him down. They can eat his shots. And he's a little bit of a glass cannon, man. When he starts to get hit, when he starts getting pressured, he can, you know, look for ways out. He could look a little bit bewildered in there. Like, he doesn't want to be in there. And I feel like Magomed, I just think he's a little bit better overall everywhere. I think he's cleaner a little bit. I think he's better with his composure. I'm going to go with Magomed and Kalayev to go in there and get it done via finish in the second or the third round. But, you know, looking at the money line for this fight, I do kind of believe it's dog or pass because Yachty's a big, dangerous guy in that first round, and he could go in there and get it done in the first round. Laying minus 250 on Ankalaev, that is a little bit steep, but I do think Ankalaev should win this fight. And up next year, the co-main event the co-main event to a title fight in the UFC. Felicia Spencer versus Zyra Fard. I mean, yeah, man, you're really giving Joe B and Deveson a really nice co-main here with these two. But, yeah, Felicia, She suffered a beatdown against Chris Cyborg. I mean, she fought valiantly for three rounds, and she was even able to cut Cyborg with an elbow. I would say she raised her stock, and she's 3-0. You know, she's facing... she's not 3-0. What am I saying? She's taking on a girl in Zara Fardu, 6-3. And, you know, foreign, she's out of France. And, you know, this is kind of an example of the shallowness of this women's featherweight division. Felicia Spencer, she recently finished Megan Anderson in round one. She's now facing an opponent who Megan Anderson finished in round one just 4 months ago. And I know MMA math doesn't work, but Spencer is a massive favorite for a reason here. And, you know, she's a grappler, good kicks, not really much boxing. She'll throw some Superman punches, Superman elbows, and she did show up some nice elbows in her last match. I mean, she still grabs when in boxing range, but you could tell she's improving her footwork. She isn't as hittable. She'll look for a left hook. She has a decent left hook, straight right hand. She has good pressure. She cuts the cage off well, and I was very impressed with how composed she stayed under fire against Cyborg. I mean, she showed she could eat, take a lot of damage, and continue to try to win, most specifically. A lot of girls, you know, they'll take damage and they're able to survive, but she took damage and she was still trying to win, which is, you know, very good to see. There's a lot of leg kicks. I feel like some of her leg kicks are a little bit lazy, but, you know, in this fight, I don't know. She won't have to worry about too much, I don't think. She'll throw body kicks, jab body kick. She kind of has some decent kicks up the middle. And she's a solid grappler. I mean, we saw that against Megan Anderson. She got in the double underhook, circled to the back, took the back very nicely. She has very nice trips, single legs. Using the single to circle to the back is really what she's very good at. And her back takes are excellent. I mean, she'll flatten opponents out. Very nice rear naked chokes. Her takedowns really to me aren't super great, but... you know, in this fight, I kind of feel like if she can get into the clinch, she's going to get the takedown. She's finished 5 of her 7 wins, 4 submissions, nice rear naked choke in her debut against Anderson. And for Fawn, you know, she did suffer that setback last fight. You know, Anderson isn't known for her ground game, so to get submitted by Anderson is pretty alarming. But, you know, she's going to likely need to land a Bob Takes Spencer out to win here. It's tough for me to see Fawn improving much either from fight to fight or doing much in the UFC, but she's already 35 years old. She has been training at a good gym. She's at All Stars Training Center. I don't think necessarily she looks old out there, but she's just not that good. I mean, in her fight with Megan Anderson, she did start fast. She blitzed with some straight punch combinations. She has a decent jab. I mean, she's shown that offensive fight. She has some kicks, but she closes the distance with her strikes. And, you know, Anderson was able to clinch up with her almost immediately, and her grappling looks almost non-existent. Megan Anderson, I mean, she's not known as a grappler, and Farr made her look like Hoyce Gracie, man. I mean, Anderson was able to hit a body lock immediately, took the mount. Farr showed little to no defense on the mat. She was pieced up with the elbows. She kind of made a hasty move to escape, put in a triangle, got submitted. And if she gets taken out by Felicia, it's very likely the fight ends shortly after. This fight should be a formality, man. I mean, we saw Spencer was able to cut the cage off, get Cyborg against the cage controller there. She did the same thing to Anderson, and she was able to eat a ton of damage against Cyborg. She gave some of her own. She's very tough. Zarn, you know, having the takedown defense of Cyborg, I don't think so. And she isn't refined anyways. Her striking closes the distance for her opponents. If she wants to defeat Spencer, I mean, her game plan would be to use her length move, which I just don't think she's capable of. I feel like one takedown is going to lead the win for Spencer. You know, I see that takedown happen in the first round, so I'm going to say Spencer wins via first round submission here. And up next here, we finally have the main event. It's the UFC Flyweight Championship on the line here. Joseph Benavidez, Deiveson Figueiredo. And Benavidez, you know, he's looking for another crack at UFC gold here. And he's arguably the best fighter in UFC history never to be champion. So we're going to see if he can finally achieve that goal. This will be his second consecutive, second consecutive training camp for his team, Extreme Couture, against Figueiredo. So they should have a good understanding of what Figueiredo's tendencies are, what he wants to do. And, you know, Figueiredo, he's getting a big chance here. I mean, he's relatively an unknown name still, even though he's done very well in the UFC as a finisher. He's getting a big chance here to become UFC champion. I'm sure the UFC wants Benavidez to win marketability-wise, but, you know, we'll see what happens. And Benavidez, you know, he's a super explosive athlete. He really relies on that on the feet. He keeps his hands low, uses a lot of movement, fake feints. finds his opening, closes the distance, and he's very explosive, extremely fast, and he's a solid jab, good straight left hand, inside outside low kicks, round kicks to the body, to the head. Good job of setting up his kicks with feints. He'll also throw them at the end of combinations. He'll throw front kicks, head kicks. You know, his most devastating strikes are definitely his hooks and his overhands. Landed a big overhand that stumbled Alex Perez, and he eventually took him out. He landed a really nasty left hook in his last fight against Formiga. Hurt him, swarmed him, took him out. Really excellent performance there from Benavidez. And, man, I mean, when he's closing that distance with his blitz attacks, he's extremely explosive. And even when you blitz him, he'll blitz back, very explosive. Kind of similar to how John Dodson caught Nathaniel Wood, where Wood blitzed him, he blitzed back, was just a little bit faster. And, you know, he can struggle a little bit, like when he fought against Sergio Pettis, though. With guys who can control distance and counter with clean, tight punches, which is what Deiveson is going to try to do in this fight. But I don't think Deiveson is as clean with the footwork or with the punching as Sergio is. But he definitely hits harder, so Benavidez has to be very careful not to run into something. And Benavidez, he's only been finished by strikes one time in his career, though. And he has 8 knockouts on his record. He's a phenom wrestler, man, offensively and defensively. Excellent in the clinch. Really nice plum clinch. He'll blast knees, body, head, short uppercuts in the single collar. Good job landing shots off the break. He'll attack knees, overhands, uppercuts, disengaging. Great takedowns in the clinch. He's one of the most physically strong flyweights of all time. Really nasty slam takedowns. His style blitzing in with 3-4 hook overhands makes it easier for him to duck under as well. If they're worried about getting hit, he'll just duck under, land the double. Very active on top. He'll attack with nasty ground and pound elbows. He was able to take out Alex Perez in that wrestling ride position. He'll just finish fights with ground and pound very well. And he'll move to mount where he'll look for the finish. He'll try to snatch the guillotine. Great takedown defense as well, man. I mean, when you take him down, he's usually going to scramble and end up on top. So, I mean, he's even said that in interviews. I mean, if you take me down, it's basically like taking down yourself. And extremely hard to hold down. I mean, almost impossible. Never been submitted in his career. 9 submissions himself. And for Deiveson Figueiredo, he's probably one of the biggest flyweights on the roster. And he maybe has the most one-punch knockout power as well. But on the feet, he's pretty basic. You know, he cuts the cage off. He'll switch stances. He likes to kind of almost have that, you know, I like to call it, you know, the air guitar position, you know, where he has the arm out. He's kind of gauging distance with the lead hand, where he has the rear hand cocked, and both hands are kind of low, but he's kind of just trying to bait you in, trying to maybe, you know, use his front hand to gauge the distance a little bit, bait you in, and pull counter with that rear hand, and, you know, very nice jab. He'll skip into range with the 1-2, heavy low kicks, powerful straight overhand right. He kind of likes to shuffle into range and then explode into a left or right hook and then an overhand following it. He'll attack the body as well. Very nice uppercuts. He kind of loads up on shots, but he's gotten better at throwing standing elbows, front elbows, and, you know, that kind of helps him in the pocket. Instead of loading up, he'll be very quick at the elbows. They can cut guys open like they did with Pantoja. But, you know, he kind of waits a lot. He goes second. He can be kind of low volume. And he will send the pocket trade wild. And that's a little bit dangerous against Joseph Benavidez. You know, we saw against Pantoja, Figueiredo hit a lot of big shots. But Figueiredo will also get frustrated, use a lot of lunging, big movements, which kind of can make it easier to catch up with counter shots and get takedowns. But in his last fight, I will say he was definitely more composed, or in his fight with Pantoja. In his last fight, he was very quick. But, you know, his opponent in Pantoja was a lot more willing to engage with Figueiredo than I think Joe B is going to be. And Figueiredo has 8 KO TKOs. He's never been finished by strikes. And he struggled with grapplers over his career, man, though. He has gotten a victory by the skin of his teeth against Jared Brooks. He was taken down many times in that fight. He lost a fight to Formiga where he was taken down. And even Pantoja was able to take him down several times. And, you know, Formiga was able to cement position, control the round. So was Jared Brooks. Pantoja, not so much. But Figueiredo doesn't have the greatest takedown defense or get-up game. I mean, you know, off his back, he really doesn't do much. I mean, he'll try to play the guard game, control posture, land elbows, punches, attack with the guillotine. But, I mean, he doesn't have the greatest get-up game. He did cut Formiga with the elbow on bottom. And, you know, he will look to push the hips, try to stand up. And, you know, his guillotine is dangerous. I mean, we did see him catch Jared Brooks in that guillotine several times, almost submitted him. He caught Tim Elliott, did submit Tim Elliott, who is Joseph Benavidez's teammate with that guillotine. He doesn't really use the guillotine to sweep the top position, though, so if he doesn't get it, he ends up on his back. And I think it's going to be very hard to get a guillotine on a guy like Joe B, especially after he just saw his trading partner get caught in that. In full guard, you know, he doesn't really throw up many submissions. Defensing isn't super dangerous other than with the guillotine, with any submissions overall, really, at all. And, you know, he did land a nice blast double in his fight with Pantoja. Wasn't really able to control position. I don't see him being able to control Joe B or even take him down or try to take him down. In this fight, you know, Figueroa has to be stay composed. He has to try to cut Benavidez off, not get frustrated by the movement, catch him as he's coming in, use his straight right hand, uppercut, flying knees maybe even. And if he gets taken down, work back to his feet as quickly as possible, continue to pressure, try to get Benavidez tired. But, you know, the thing about it is I feel like Benavidez, he's going to come in here with a good game plan, I feel like. I think that he's going to, you know, be low volume, set up low kicks, attack a lot of low kicks. And I think he's going to try to touch Deiveson, get him a little bit frustrated, and get takedowns, man. Because we've seen time and time again, man, that Deiveson can't defend takedowns. He can't defend double legs. He cannot defend double legs. He really can't. He'll only use the guillotine. And if he catches the guillotine on Joe B, then he's going to win the title. But if Joe B can start taking him down, can start grinding on him, you know, there's going to be a lot of trouble there for Deiveson. I do feel like Deiveson's going to be live throughout the whole fight because he comes in shape. And, you know, if he could land a shot on Joe's chin, he could take him out. But I feel like as the fight goes on, Joe's going to be taking him down. He's going to be hitting that leg. And I think that Deiveson's going to start really expecting that takedown. He's going to start getting hit with overhands, getting hit with more strikes on the feet. I do feel like standing up, if Joe B can't get the takedown, or if he comes out early, he doesn't threaten the takedown for, like, in the first 5 minutes or the first few minutes of the fight, he gets caught. I think Deiveson is kind of levels above Joe on the feet, and Joe's a little bit hittable, so it is a little bit dangerous on the feet early in rounds for Joe B, especially before he's established his wrestling, or if he can't establish his wrestling. I do think the speed could potentially bail him out, but, you know, on the feet, it would be make me a little bit nervous. But I'm going with Joseph Benavidez. I feel like Joe B is the better all-around fighter. He has great cardio. He knows this is his last chance to get the UFC title here. And he's been looking, you know, downright phenomenal in his last fights. I mean, we saw what Formiga did to Deiveson Figueiredo. Joe B finished that guy. Joe B finished Alex Perez, that's been running roughshod through the division as well. And he's just been looking very, very good recently. He looks like he's kind of gotten a new lease on life. He's trained out in Las Vegas at the UCPI and Extremes. And, yeah, he looks like he's good. So I'm picking Joseph Benavidez to finally claim gold, become the UFC flyweight champion, and get the win here. And, you know, these guys have been talking back and forth. They have a little bit of a beef. So, you know, I expect this fight to be fun. I expect it to be a good fight. And I'm going with Joseph Benavidez to get it done. And for my most confident pick of the week this week, it's going to be Felicia Spencer. I just don't really see any way that she could lose that fight. Really, no. I mean, I feel like she's almost like a, she should be like minus 2,000 favorite even. But this week, I'm not going to give you guys a parlay. I'm going to give you guys actually a play of the week, just because I don't really like too many parlays. I'm going to go with Sean Brady for the play of the week. I really feel like, even though he's the underdog, I feel like he should be a decent favorite. And I think he's going to get the win here. I really do. I really like the matchup for Brady. And for the underdog of the week, I'm going to say TJ Brown is the underdog of the week. So yeah, guys, thanks for rocking with me. Thanks for listening to the podcast. And hope you guys enjoyed it. Make sure to comment, like, subscribe. Hopefully you guys learned some new information. And let's have fun watching these fights on Saturday.